Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
I want to welcome you today to today's podcast. We're going to be dealing with lesson number 4 of the Creative Study Methods course. And we're going to be talking about several different things. And first off, the objectives of this particular lesson are as follows. First, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You'll be able to identify prerequisites to effective Bible study. You're going to be able to identify 2 ways God provided for studying His Word. You'll be able to recognize the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. You'll be able to explain the difference between the milk and the meat of the Word of God. You'll be able to identify 3 steps for moving from milk to meat of the Word of God. And lastly, you're going to be able to list 3 practical suggestions for studying God's Word. So our key verse for today is going to be found in John 8:47. He that is of God heareth God's words, ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. So as an introduction, many people try to begin Bible study the same way they study any other book. They take their Bible, they open it up, and they start to read. But often, their study does not last long. They find it difficult to understand what they read. They do not recognize how the Bible relates to everyday living and may even think it's a rather dull book. The Bible, however, explains that only certain people will be able to understand God's Word. People fail at Bible study because they are not spiritually prepared to study the Word of God. Now, the Bible is like a door which leads into the presence of God. And behind that door are great spiritual treasures, but you must have the key to unlock the door, or you'll never be able to enter in and explore these treasures. The Bible reveals how to understand God's Word, and it provides the key to unlock the door to spiritual understanding. So there are some prerequisites to Bible study. A prerequisite is something that you must do before you can do something. So the Bible is the Word of God. And it's not like any other book that you cannot study it as you do other books. So there are prerequisites, things you must do before you can begin, and if you're to understand the deep spiritual things of God. So if you want to understand the Bible, you must first know the author of the Bible. Jesus said this in John 8:47, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." And that was our main verse. So you cannot understand God's words without knowing God. How do you come to know God? Jesus told Nicodemus, who was a religious leader in the nation of Israel, in John 3:3, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So a man may be educated, learned, cultured, and even religious, but the understanding of Scripture will be hidden from him until his spiritual eyes have been opened by the new birth. Now, Nicodemus asked Jesus, "How can these things be?" He did not understand what Jesus meant, and Jesus answered and said this in John 3:10, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things?" Now, Nicodemus was a religious leader of Israel, yet he did not know about being born again. In fact, he asked this question in John 3:4, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus explained to Nicodemus that the new birth of which he was speaking was a spiritual birth. The new birth experience comes through faith in Jesus Christ. So you must confess you're a sinner. You must believe Jesus died for your sins, ask for forgiveness for your sins, and accept him as your personal Savior. Now, the person who has not been born again cannot receive the truths of God's words. And we find that in this verse, which is found in 1 Corinthians 2:14. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So the unsaved man may admire the Bible for its literary beauty and value. He may study it historically or maybe geographically, but the spiritual truths of God's Word will remain hidden until he receives the forgiveness of sins. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, God has some provisions. And from the moment you accepted Jesus as your Savior and experienced the new birth, your mind will begin to understand spiritual truths in God's Word. Just as a newborn baby in the natural world needs physical nourishment from food, a person who's spiritually reborn needs nourishment. Their food for the spiritual growth and development is the Word of God. And there are two ways God has provided to help you study His Word. First off is teachers. Now, God chooses certain believers as leaders in the church. And one of the special leadership positions is that of being a teacher of God's Word. We find in 1 Corinthians 12:28, it says, "And God has set in some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, and thirdly teachers." And then in Ephesians 4:11 through 13, it says, "And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come into a unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So first off, God provides teachers, and secondly, He provides a special teacher. So God has a second way for you to learn His Word, and He commands you to study it for yourself. "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's found in 2 Timothy 2:15. So, God has provided a special teacher to help you when you study His Word. And when Jesus was living on the earth, He personally taught His followers the truths of God. But Jesus knew that after His death and resurrection, He would be returning to heaven. So He told His followers that a special teacher would be sent to help them understand God's Word, and that teacher is the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And in John 6:13, it says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." So the coming of the Holy Spirit is recorded in Acts chapter 2. So read that chapter in your Bible. God wants you to experience the same infilling of the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, you receive a special ability from God to be able to understand His Word. We find that in 1 John 2:27, it says, "But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him." So the Holy Spirit is a creative power. It is the Spirit of God that breathed into man the breath of life. We find that in Genesis 2:7. And it's the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And we find that was in Romans 8:11. It is that creative power of the Holy Spirit that takes ordinary study and turns it into creative study of God's Word. And that's what this course is all about. So, we said in the introduction to this course that to be creative is to produce something new. The teaching of the Holy Spirit produces a new flow of spiritual understanding. The Holy Spirit makes the Bible new, fresh, and relevant to your life. Now, there's a difference in God's Word between milk and meat. So there are two levels of spiritual depth in God's Word. We call these milk level and meat levels. The milk of God's Word refers to the simple truths that even a child could understand, such as the plan of salvation. The meat of God's Word refers to deeper spiritual truths, which are not so easy to understand. So some people have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but they do not seem to grow in their understanding of God's Word. They're still feeding on the milk of the Word. So in the natural world, there's nothing wrong with milk for a newborn baby. The same is true in the spiritual world. When you were first born again, you should desire the milk of the Word of God. In 1 Peter 2:2, it says, "As newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." But there comes a time in the natural world that a baby must start to eat solid foods if he is to mature physically. And this is also true in the spiritual world. There's a time when you must move on from milk to the meat of God's word. Hebrews 5:13-14 says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason and use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So Paul said that when it was time for the believers to move from spiritual milk to meat, some just weren't ready. In Hebrews 5:12, he says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and you are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." So why is this so? Why is it that some believers go deep into God's word while others never go beyond surface understanding of the Bible? Why are some people always hungering for deeper things in God's word instead of experiencing them? And Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, and neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as mere men?" So they could not move from milk to meat because they were carnal Christians. This means they were spiritually immature. They had envy, strife, division, and other sins in their lives. And when a Christian is carnal, he will not be able to understand the deeper truths of God's word. He's going to remain on milk until he repents and grows up enough spiritually so that he can digest meat. So it is God's desire that you move from milk to the meat of his word. And this is how you increase your knowledge of God's word. Isaiah 28:9 says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And who shall he be made to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breasts." So it's important that you move from milk to meat, for it is upon spiritually mature believers that God really pours out his spirit. So in Isaiah 28:9-12, it says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breasts, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here little, there little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they could not hear." So God wanted to bless his people with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He wanted to revive them and give them spiritual rest, but they could not enter because they had not heard his words. They could not move on to a spiritual meat because they were not weaned from the milk of the word. So here's how you move from milk to meat. Now that is the big question that new believers have. So how does a newborn Christian move from milk to the meat of God's word? First off, you have to desire the milk. First, you must desire the milk of the word, and you must gain understanding of the basic principles of the word of God. So we find that it says here in 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." So you will grow from milk. So you cannot start with spiritual meat. You must first desire and learn to digest spiritual milk. But then you go on and you become obedient to God's word. This is the most important step. Carnal Christians do not obey what they learn in the milk of God's word, so they're not able to mature onto the meat. The Bible teaches that it is not enough to just hear his word, but you must be obedient. You must become a doer of the word of God and not a hearer only. James 1:22 says that. It says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So there's an increase in spiritual understanding that comes through meditation on and obedience to God's word. And this is how we move from milk to meat. David wrote this in Psalms 119, 99 through 104. It says, "Thou through thy commandments hath made me wiser than mine enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." So because David kept God's precepts and was a doer of the word, his understanding increased. God will not take you on a deeper revelation if you have not acted upon what you've learned from the beginning in the milk of the word. So also you want to search for the meat. So in the natural world, chewing meat requires more physical effort than drinking milk. The same is true in the spiritual world. Discovering the meat of God's word requires more spiritual effort than living on the milk of the word. Proverbs chapter 2 tells us how to search for the meat. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou shalt incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou crieth after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if you seeketh her as silver and searcheth for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So these are the steps for discovering and understanding the knowledge of God. Number one, you want to receive my words. Jesus says, you must be teachable. Two, hide my commandments with thee. You must accept the word and integrate it into your life and spirit. And do not try to change the word to agree with your way of living. Number three, you want to incline thy ear unto wisdom. Really listen to what God is saying to you through his word. Listening requires changes in living where indicated. Four, you want to apply thy heart to understanding. Apply yourself diligently to the understanding or interpreting of the word. Number five, seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures. If someone told you there was a hidden treasure in property you own, what would you do? You would start digging. You would conduct a systematic search until you found the treasure, and it would become a priority of your life. So when you make God's word a priority and begin to systematically search for his wisdom, you will find it. But it must become a priority of life. You must approach it with as much excitement and dedication as if you were searching for a buried treasure. So if you follow these guidelines and search for the meat of God's word, these are the results. So basically, there's seven results that you're going to find. Number one is that thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. That's verse 5. Number two, and find the knowledge of God. Also verse 5. Number three, thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. That's verse 9. Number four, it will be pleasant unto thy soul, and you're going to find satisfaction. That's verse 10. Number five, discretion shall preserve thee. Discretion is the ability to make sound judgment and decisions. That's found in verse 11. Number six, understanding shall keep thee. That's verse 11. And lastly, number seven, you shall be delivered from all evil. That's verse 12. So here's some practical suggestions for your Bible study. First off, you want to set time. Set a special time each day when you'll study. The time you select will depend on your personal schedule or preference. Some prefer to study early in the morning when they're fresh and rested. Some find that their best time to be late at night when everyone else is in their household has gone to sleep. Whatever time you select, set it apart as a regular appointment time with God to study his word. Another thing is to select a special place. Select a place that is free from noise and interruption as much as possible. Be sure to have good lighting to enable you to read even without eye strain. And if it's possible, select a place where you can leave your study materials, a Bible, pencil, paper, any Bible study books you may have. This way you do not have to spend time each day collecting these items before you start your study, so you can just go right in and begin. And start in a special way. Start each study session with prayer. Ask God to open your understanding so that you will be able to receive his word. The psalmist David prayed this in Psalms 119, 169. "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word." So that's it for this lesson. Go ahead and do your chapter self-tests, and then come join us in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.